As we prepare to hear the word read and proclaimed, let us pray for illumination. Holy One, your word is a lamp to our feet. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and strength to follow you on the good path you set before us. In Christ, amen. Our scripture reading comes from Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday, when it is past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. It flourishes and is renewed. In the evening, it fades and withers. For we are consumed by your anger, by your wrath we are overwhelmed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days pass away under your wrath. Our years come to an end like a sigh. The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80 if we are strong. Even then, their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. So teach us to count our ways that we may gain, to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. O prosper the work of our hands. Holy wisdom, holy word.
In the past month, we have received the wonderful gift of hearing 4 stewardship stories from members of our congregation. We started with Jane Schladecker, one of our Knox youth, who told us a story about prayer. We heard a story about mission and outreach from Jill Brokaw. Blake Helms told us a story about the beauty of music in our congregation. And finally, Marty Nordzik last week told us a story about experiencing care and belonging in this community. This morning, we have one more story to share, and it is a wonderful setup for our exploration of Psalm 90 this morning. Please welcome this video that comes as a story from Knox member Jim Crossett.
Good morning. My name is Jim Crossett. I'm a member of Knox Church. I've been a member of this church my whole life. I was baptized here. And my family has been affiliated with Knox for several generations. And it's been really an honor and a pleasure to be a member of Knox over all this period of time, because what's so important about Knox is it's remained relevant and remained current with the challenges that many of us have in our lives and in our community and our society. So it's really been a blessing for me to be at one church all these years. A great part of my Knox experience has been our affiliation with Third Church. Jeff Kersey in the men's group, we do a monthly breakfast over there. It's been a really great experience to be part of that. And also we have the mentoring ministry. I'm on my second mentee, 2 brothers, Cam and Sincere. And really, I've gotten to know the whole family, the mother, the sister, Danielle and Carmen. It's just been a great experience to get to know that whole family. And I especially want to thank Max Buchanan, because he and I have been sort of partners in this. And when he can't be available for his mentee, I am, and vice versa. So Max, it's been a great partnership. I've had some challenges in my life, unexpected, death of my wife, which was tragic, and Knox was there for me in a big way. So I'm grateful for that. Also, I wanted to mention, a lot of people don't know this about Cindy, but she was very instrumental in getting the basketball court completed at Third Church, not just financially, but she was the final project manager to get that over the finish line. And so just a way to remember her. My faith journey has helped me with my work at the school board to help make good decisions and give good advice. And it's also given me a chance to experience the greater city. For example, last Sunday I was at the Jarrell Missionary Baptist Church, and the sermon was about the storms in your life. And I've certainly had storms in my life, health challenges, economic challenges, and of course the death of the unexpected death of my wife, Cindy. And so the church has been there for me and provided lots of support and guidance. And, the church continues to have great minds and great mentors like Carrie Duke and Nancy Zinfer, who always offer great wisdom. And it's just a blessing to be part of Knox. Thank you.
Let's go to God in prayer. Startle us, O God, with the majesty and glory, the grace and forgiveness and the wonder of your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning's scripture is Psalm 90, which is what I believe to be one of the wisest and most inspiring scriptures in all of the Bible. I once heard a preacher I know give a brilliant sermon illustration about Psalm 90. It was smart and attention-grabbing and poetically told. I liked it so much that I retold it on that preacher's own funeral day earlier this year. I'm not going to tell that story this morning. Instead, I'm going to begin by telling you about God's wrath. Now, why would I want to do that? Why in the world would I want to talk about God's wrath? Well, because there are references in the middle of this psalm about God's wrathful anger. I suspect that many of us don't like the sound of that and may get stuck there. And if you get stuck there, you might miss the beauty of Psalm 90. So I'm going to start with a few words about God's wrath. In brief, some preachers read about the wrath of God and find it to be helpful. They see these verses in the Bible as a way of threatening people into good behavior out of a fear of hell. And they use that to great effect. There are also those who like it that the Bible mentions God's wrath because they hope for that wrath to be directed at other people, the people who they don't like. I disagree with both of these points of view. Here's another way that you might think about God's wrath. God's wrath is directed not at individual people or even at groups of people, but rather God's wrath is directed at things in the world that are not the way they are supposed to be. God's wrath is directed at things in the world that are not the way they are supposed to be. Greed, violence, suffering of all kinds. These things incur God's wrath. It makes God angry when our worst instincts win out over our good ones and when evil and madness run rampant in the world. When this happens, God's wrath is more than just simple anger. Wrath is anger that necessitates action, that requires a response. When a teenager encourages their parents' wrath over a report card, They take away the keys to the car. God's wrath means that God is upset about the brokenness of the world, and God intends to do something about it. God means to set things right. When we think about God's wrath this way, as this kind of productive intention to work for the good, this is more than just a sidebar about some verses in the middle of today's psalm. It is exactly what I want to talk about today. That God is at work to bring about a vision. God does that work through us. Humble human beings who experience God's love at work in our lives and share it with others. This is a psalm about how throughout the course of time, God is inspiring faithful people to work for a better world. I want you to notice how this psalm is constructed, how it's written. It begins in a way that's very big picture, cosmic, in fact. But by the end of the psalm, it's going to become very personal. At the start of the psalm, you get the idea that perhaps our lives are of very little importance. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. You. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. Reading these words is a bit like staring up at a starlit sky and considering the vastness of the universe and the inconceivable way it is timelessly expanding. In comparison, who are we with our small and insignificant lives? Sometimes it's helpful to me to be put into my place this way. Sometimes the stresses and troubles of each day are actually eased a bit when we remind ourselves that we are not the center of the universe. That we are here but for a season, that we need not sweat the small stuff or take ourselves so seriously because God is in charge. One of the reasons we come to worship each week is to remind ourselves of these things and be given a weekly lesson in humility. This is the way the psalm begins. But if we are suspicious that those opening verses means God does not care, the psalm quickly corrects that. It moves from those cosmic statements right into those meditations about God's wrath, those reminders that God means to transform and repair the brokenness of the created world, this world, the one we live in, the one we know. God cares about the things in the world that are not as they are supposed to be, and God means to do something about it. Well, after just a few more verses, it moves right on to what does have to do with us. We are part of that vision after all, and we believe that God notices us. So the poet of this psalm prays, "Have compassion on us, O God. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love so that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days." And by the time we reach the end of the psalm, the last line is as concrete and tangible as it gets. Let the favor of the Lord be upon us and prosper the work of our hands. Oh, prosper the work of our hands. Help me to know, O God, that my life has meaning and purpose. That when we have lost our way, you are still with us and we are leading lives that matter. Help us to make something good out of the daily tasks that are in front of us. Help us to leave the world a little better than we found it. Teach us to count our days so that we may gain a wise heart and prosper the work of our hands. The psalm started with this big picture affirmation that throughout all of time and space, God is the one who holds eternity and is worthy of worship. It moved on to make clear that there are things in the world that are not the way God wants them to be, and it concludes with the call to action. Every one of us has a role to play in bringing about God's good vision for the world. If we spend enough time in such a psalm and humble ourselves in prayer enough to listen, we will begin to see that God is not just far away and out of touch or uncaring, but that God, in fact, has a role for each of us to play in bringing about God's vision, even from the disparate places of our little old lives. As the sermon began, you heard this story from Jim Crossett. He told a story like so many that I have heard that work in the same way as Psalm 90. It's a story I find beautiful because it has a message that can apply to every one of us. As Jim told you, he's got Knox stories that go back for generations. There were far too many of them to fit into this short video. So many were left on the cutting room floor. Jim can tell you about his great uncle renegotiating the mortgage on this building during the Depression. He can tell you about his dad bringing not only his own kids, but neighborhood friends to Sunday school at Knox. Jim can tell you about rediscovering Knox as a young adult in his 20s and raising his daughters here, and about years spent on the Mission and Social Concerns Committee. As it so often happens, at some point, Jim figured out that his relationship with Knox had become much more personal and much more important than a bunch of separate little stories. As he shared in the video, Jim's work these days on the CPS school board and his mentorships with Cam and Sincere, these are just a sampling of a life of public service that Jim learned from his parents and here in his church. The friends he thanked in the video are just a few of the great network of love and support Jim enjoys here. When Cindy died, though tragically, I assure you it was deeply moving for me to watch as this community surrounded their friend with care and support. And I see that over and over and over again with those of you who are suffering. This is what happens when people make a commitment to life in a community of faith. They start with little stories here and there of things that happen at church, but over time, the cumulative effect of those stories is a collection of relationships that matter, a collection of behaviors that shape us as we love and serve others. Soon our stories are about others who care for us at times when we are suffering the most, and about memories that give meaning and richness to a life well lived. In all of these ways, little by little, God shows favor upon us. God takes the small works of our lives and prospers the work of our hands. I began this sermon by choosing not to tell you a powerful tearjerker of a sermon illustration about Psalm 90, and likewise, I am going to conclude in a way that is quite matter-of-fact. Today is Stewardship Celebration Sunday, and it is also the Sunday we celebrate All Saints' Day. We did this on purpose. In the Presbyterian tradition, saints are not some small collection of holy and sinless heroes set apart from the rest of us. No, Presbyterians believe that saints are every one of us. Every one of the everyday heroes who have gone before us in the faith and who today smile down upon us from heaven. Your mom and your grandfather and the lady who once taught your Sunday school class or invited you to sing in the choir. The elder who packed food boxes with your son and modeled helping others for him. The youth leader who spoke to you as a teenager about how to pray. This is the day when we remember them all, when we take communion and pray by name for the ones who have left us in the past year. And it is also the day when we celebrate those of you who have made your pledge for next year, and when we tell the rest of you who haven't done it yet that it's time to get it in gear. Because the generations who went before us are counting on us to sustain this wonderful community God inspired them to build. Here, every one of us gets to start collecting our own little book of Knox stories, so that out of that personal history, we will one day realize that God has the power to inspire us to service, to surround us with care when we are hurting, and to lend meaning and purpose to a life well lived. Today we celebrate God's grace that has been with us for so very long, and we renew the invitation for you to make this Knox family a meaningful part of your life. All to God's glory and honor and praise. Amen.